You're listening to Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weishaupt. Today, we're going to talk about a film called Lucy. You've probably seen it. Came out damn near 10 years ago. Which is why I feel like I got to start this show out with an apology. You caught me slipping. I don't know how I didn't watch this movie for 8 years. But, you know, and I know other truther blogs have covered it because back in the golden days of blogging, I've seen it splashed on the radar. I never even read the analysis because I was like, who cares about that movie? I think I thought it was like some kind of action movie with Scarlett Johansson, and I was like, for that reason, I'm out. And I had no idea what the film was going to be. I thought, it's going to be some superhero BS. Wow, I was wrong. Turns out it was one of the greatest movies I've ever seen. That might be it. Excessive. It was one of the best movies I've seen in a long time. We'll say that. And today we're going to unpack the heavy duty, high octane occult symbolism in here. It's got it all. It's got your Luciferian agenda. It's got your transhuman agenda. It's got your evolution of the consciousness. It's got your Saturnian death cult. Yes, it's all here. And we're going to unpack every little bit of it. I'm going to prepare you for the film analysis, then I will walk you through the film, then I will do a lengthy conclusion where I will unpack these ideas from the perspective of the occult, which the Illuminati, this is the philosophy they live by. That's the theory. That's the argument. So, I mean, without further ado, right, we're not messing around anymore. We're just going right into it. Scarlett Johansson plays a woman named Lucy, all right? Lucy unlocks the powers of her mind, her capabilities, through some drugs, and finds herself in this battle between some college nerds and this Korean gang, the BTS army, whatever. Turns out that's a very minor role. It just kind of is something, it's a vehicle for you to digest the occult message. So the action sequences of the film are kind of insignificant to me. I don't really care. It was enough to make it a palatable watch, right? Because you got 2001 A Space Odyssey, and there's long stretches of like no dialogue, no action. But there's big, heavy-duty ideas being conveyed in that film. And that's kind of what Lucy is, except if you added in car chases. If this was Kubrick's 2001, it would be moon buggies racing each other on the surface. Now, should you watch this film before I talk about it, before I give you the plot spoilage? Yes, absolutely. This is up there. In fact, I now am on the Letterboxd app. It's kind of like Yelp for movies. They're not a sponsor of the podcast. I know I'm talking as if they are. You can't really leave comments or nothing. It's just you follow people and they watch movies and then they rank them and give you a little review. So I love that. I was writing it and I had it at 4.5 stars, which is your pretty standard rating from me if it's a great film that I really enjoyed. But I had to stop and I paused and I thought, is this a 5-star film? It kind of is. I really think it is. I mean, I might revisit it. I've watched it twice now, and the second time through was better than the first time through, even. And I know I'm really hyping this thing up. Some of you disagree with my movie analysis reviews, and that's okay. I told you Spring Breakers. I warned you. I said it's either a love it or a hate it. And that was all the comments I read on Patreon was that was exactly what it turned out to be. Some of you were mad at me. But I warned you. I told you, you're going to love this movie or you're going to hate it. A lot of people tapped out. A lot of people tapped out, and that's all right. But this film, it's in the camp of, if you've seen Scarlett Johansson's Under the Skin, if you've seen Annihilation with Natalie Portman, another film I slept on, which is also a 5-star film, one of my favorites. If you like 2001 A Space Odyssey, if you like Interstellar, if you think it's all right, all right, all right. If you like Inception with the world's greatest actor, Leo, this is in that camp. So there you go. Now, an interesting take on it And this does explain it very well. If you go to the Wikipedia, they talk the director, Luc Besson, who we're going to talk about in a second here, he stated that he intended for the first part of Lucy to be like The Professional, another film that he wrote and directed from the 90s, if you're too young. And I actually never liked The Professional. I thought it was a dumb movie. I should probably watch it again. Everyone I knew loved it, though, back in the 90s. Oh, couldn't get away from it. The second part of the film is like Inception, and the third part is like 2001 A Space Odyssey, and he nailed it, because that's exactly what it feels like. It feels like three different movies. And it's a perfect companion for Scarlett Johansson's Under the Skin film, which was released about the same time, just a few months before Lucy in the U.S. theaters. So they both, for all intents and purposes, came out at the same time. And you know I'm a big fan of Under the Skin. I talked about it in my second Alien book, Use Your Illusion 2. And then, of course, how long is this film? It's the perfect length. You know what it is. The perfect length for a film. Now, who's in it? Obviously, Scarlett Johansson. She's the only character to care about. I mean, Morgan Freeman's in it too, but who cares? Scarlett Johansson, ironically, I found out one of her first appearances on film was in 96. She was in a film called If Lucy Fell, which is very curious because now she is in a film called Lucy. Well, now, 8 years ago, she was in a film called Lucy. Strange. Then after this, of course, she fell into the pit of Marvel Universe, never to be seen again. And she actually hit my radar many, many years ago with Lost in Translation with Bill Murray, another great film. Not my typical cup of tea, but Josie loves Lost in Translation, and I don't blame her. It's a great film. Fun fact about Scarlett, she actually had her tonsils removed as an adult. Yes, just like your boy Isaac. If you remember several years ago, I went through the painful process. Would have killed a normal man. The film is directed by a guy named Luc Besson, for his production company, Europa Corps, planting the seeds of occult ideas of alien life coming to save us from another planet. Yes, Europa. I've talked about this many times if you listen to my shows. When you get into the 2001 A Space Odyssey novels, you find out that Europa plays a big part in the alien intelligence. And wouldn't you know it, NASA's sending probes out to Europa to find alien life so they can put us in the digital matrix. Sorry, I'm being a little silly today. Luc Besson also did a film called Fifth Element. Maybe you've heard of it. Now, he's got some interesting history. We're going to briefly do a little gossip, and then we're getting into the movie. Not messing around today. I ain't playing with you hoes. Luke's got some interesting theory. If you look at Wikipedia, homeboy's been married four times, okay? His second marriage was to a 16-year-old named Maywin Lebesco. He was 31. He actually met her when she was 12. Started dating her when she was 15. And then impregnated her, yes. And then they got married when she was 16. Now, this was allegedly the love affair depicted in The Professional, if you've ever seen that movie, which also stars Natalie Portman, by the way. A very young Natalie Portman. She's like a little girl. She's like 12 in the movie. So, anyway, yeah. Because Maywin Lebesco appears in it as well. In The Professional, sorry. I'm trying to read through my notes. But I always find The Professional kind of a creepy film. I never really dug it. But then Luc Besson, the director, married Mia Jovovich because they had a thing during the filming of Fifth Element, which Maywin also stars in. She is the blue singing alien. Very awkward. Now, he was also accused of various sexual assaults and rapes, but the courts dismissed the cases due to lack of evidence. Make of that what you will. Choose your reality on that. Doesn't look good. But, hey, we don't know. We don't know what happened. We weren't there. So there's the guy who directed the film. Now, plot spoilers are coming because we're getting into the film. I'm going to walk you through the whole thing, and then we're going to go through a very lengthy and comprehensive, in-depth understanding of the occult doctrine, because this film gives it all to us. It gives it all to us. All right. Here we go. You've been warned. Let's go.
What happened? What did you do to my stomach?
What's going on?
You merely slipped a new package into your lower tummy.
And you're going to transport something very special to us.
No, no, no.
You speak English?
Yes, yes.
Take me to the hospital now.
Hospital.
Somebody put a bag of drugs inside me. I need you to take it out. It's leaking.
It is estimated most human beings only use 10% of the brain's capacity. Imagine if we could access 100%. Interesting things begin to happen. Yes?
Professor Norman, my name's Lucy. I just read all your research on the human brain. It's a little rudimentary, but you're on the right track.
Thank you.
I have access to 28% of my cerebral capacity.
I can feel every living thing.
Since when did you start writing Chinese?
Since an hour ago.
What happens when she reaches 100%?
I have no idea. All this knowledge, you can unlock secrets that go beyond our universe. I'm not even sure that mankind is ready for it.
It's like all things that make me human are fading away.
We're introduced to Lucy. She is attending college in Taiwan. She's got this bad boy BF. He works for this Korean mob, the BTS army here. And he's doing the typical sleazy bad boy thing. He's got to deliver this briefcase to the mob, the Korean mob. It's full of drugs. And he's like, hey, baby doll, let me tell you something. Why don't you go ahead and take this briefcase and take handle business for me, because I got a problem right now. And she's like, no, I don't want to do that. And he then forces her. He handcuffs the briefcase to her. He's like, get in there and do it. So, and before she goes in, they have a conversation, and we hear the name of the first woman. He finds a way to insert this into the conversation. He says, hey, do you know the name of the first woman to ever exist? It's actually named Lucy, which sets up a transhuman evolution revolution ordeal. But yes, and this is true. Lucy is the name of the supposed oldest ancestor proven to exist. And what they did was some nerds dug up some bones in 1974 in Ethiopia. They found it was a woman from millions of years ago. They called her Lucy, because the researchers were playing the Beatles song Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds while they were, digging up bones. Which is very curious in itself. Like, it's talking about LSD and the powers of the mind. And, like, this is just a side tangential rabbit hole, because LSD was part of the MKUltra stuff, which makes you wonder if this film doesn't have some elements of LSD and MKUltra type mind control going on in it. But in the film, you see various shots of animals in the Serengeti or whatever. They're stalking and attacking each other. And when I saw this, I knew this was going to be a good film. I said, okay, I see what he's doing here. I like that. And they imply that Lucy, Scarlett Johansson, she is the gazelle being stalked by the lions, the mobsters, and her scumbag boyfriend and the BTS army coming to get her. But it's really odd, because you'll notice she is wearing a leopard print coat. So you think, oh, okay, she's the gazelle in this video example. They're foreshadowing. She's about to become prey to these predators. But then she's wearing a leopard print coat. What could it ever mean? Well, we find out that she is in fact going to be the apex predator. The movie shows us directly a leopard eating the gazelle. She's about to be the leopard. She's about to prove some real Darwinian evolution. All right? And I'm going to post photos on my Instagram, at Isaac Weishaupt, link in the show notes, like and subscribe. Now, we're going to play our first clip already, because we, at the same time Lucy and her scumbag boyfriend are trying to drop off some dope, Morgan Freeman, he's giving a lecture at a college. He's talking about evolution and how animals only use so much of their cerebral capacity, which comes out to 10% for humans, which isn't technically true, apparently. You know, apparently everyone lost their minds. Oh, that's not true. Pseudoscience. And if I recall, what I think the claim is that we only use 10% at a time. You know, but whatever. You get what they're saying, right? And he was like, yeah, I know. I'm making the whole film. I know that's not real. Okay, calm down. And the crucial part of the discussion for Morgan Freeman and the college is whether humans want to just have these capabilities, like the sonar of a dolphin, or do they want to be the capability? Do they want that inherent superpower? And he goes on to talk about how if cells live in a favorable habitat, they'll choose to reproduce, but if it's in a hostile environment, they'll choose immortality. Take a listen.
For primitive beings like us, life seems to have only one single purpose, gaining time. And it is going through time seems to be also the only real purpose of each of the cells in our bodies. To achieve that aim, the mass of the cells that make up earthworms and human beings has only two solutions, be immortal or to reproduce. If its habitat is not sufficiently favorable or nurturing, the cell will choose immortality. In other words, self-sufficiency and self-management. On the other hand, if the habitat is favorable, they will choose to reproduce. That way, when they die, they hand down essential information and knowledge to the next cell, which hands it down to the next cell, and so on. Thus, knowledge and learning are handed down through time.
Now, if you listen, you surely took note of the concept of time being the crux of the whole argument, right? And we're going to revisit this in the conclusion. Because there's so much going on in this film, I got to go through the film first and then revisit, because we're going to get lost real quick in the rabbit holes. But he talks about finding balance, and he says, hey, you know, if the habit is favorable, people will reproduce. And this makes me think about, you know, Jonas Salk and a lot of these early technocrat survival of the wisest kind of thought leaders. They said overpopulation is going to be a problem for a long time. Remember that? We talked about this a couple years ago. And that's what a lot of people would think. They say, oh, you know, natural resources can only take us so far, blah, blah, blah. But I've heard recently that overpopulation isn't a problem. Now we're talking about population collapse, like people aren't having enough kids. So it made me think maybe overpopulation was a problem these people thought was going to happen. And Morgan Freeman is saying that if the habit is favorable, people will reproduce. All right. And if the habitat is not favorable, am I saying habit? I said habitat. If the habitat is not favorable, unfavorable, people will not. Could they be trying to cause chaos in our world and make us feel like the world is ending and it's all, you know, climate change and all this stuff, which, you know me, I'm like kind of, I kind of believe in the climate change thing. But could they be trying to upsell this to be like, look, you don't want to have kids because the future's hell, you can't afford to live, and so on. How many psyops could they run on us? Moving on. So meanwhile, Lucy, she's being used against her will. The BTS army, they pull her in, they get her dope, and they're like, okay, now you're going to be a drug mule for us. And you're going to transport this drug, they call it CPH4, and we'll learn more about what that is. And they insert a bag of dope surgically into her body. But guess what? The bag bursts open and enters her bloodstream. So now the CPH4 is running through Lucy's veins. And what happens? She levitates and hits the ceiling. She's crawling along the ceiling. An homage to Nightmare on Elm Street 1 with Tina crawling across the ceiling. And the drugs are hitting her system. And we see the as above, so below symbolism, right? She's about to enter the new world. Everything's being inverted on her. A common trope you see in a lot of these films, the one that comes to mind is Midsommar recently. I'd watched that. And they do the same thing there. When the camera pans inverted and things go upside down, means you're entering a new realm, and that's what she does. She takes the drugs and things are about to shift radically for Lucy. So back at college with the nerds, Morgan Freeman, he's still talking. And he's like, what if we could just access 20% of our brain? That would be enough to allow full mastery of our own body. Take a listen.
Let's imagine for a few moments what our life would be like if we could access, let's say, 20% of our brain's capacity. This first stage would give us access to and control of our own body.
Sir?
Yes?
Has it been proved scientifically?
Well, for the moment, it's just hypothesis, I confess. But if you think about it, it's troubling to realize that the Greeks, the Egyptians, and the Indians had notion of cells centuries before the invention of the microscope. And what to say about Darwin, whom everybody took for a fool when he put forth his theory of evolution? It's up to us to push the rules and laws and go from evolution to revolution. 100 billion neurons per human, of which only 15% are activated. There are more connections in the human body than there are stars in the galaxy. We possess a gigantic network of information to which we have almost no access.
Sir?
Yes.
And what would be the next stage?
Well, the next stage would probably be control of other people. But for that, we would need to access at least 40% of our brain's capacity. After control of ourselves and others, would come control of matter. But now we're entering into the realm of science fiction, and we don't know any more than a dog who watches the moon.
Excuse me, sir?
Yes.
But what would happen if, for some reason, we ignore somebody unlocked 100% of the cerebral capacity?
100%?
Yes.
I have no idea.
So Morgan Freeman, he's talking about how the Greeks knew we had cells before microscopes. And this is referencing the occult scientists, the early alchemists, because the alchemists and the early occultists were the scientists back in the day. They were talking about the hermetic wisdom long ago. In some ways, they were right. They knew all this stuff. But it was from the occult teachings of Hermes Trismegistus that they knew this stuff. They knew through the law of correspondence, as above, so below, the macrocosm and the microcosm are connected. So when Morgan Freeman says, hey, they knew that the human cell existed, he's saying like they knew the microscopic level existed and there was a perfect harmonizing balance in the macrocosm, in the cosmos, in the stars. And he's talking about how when you unlock these extra pieces of the cerebral cortex, you lose, you gain the control over self, then the control over others, then control over things, control over the world. You progress to godhood status. With the implication being that if you unlocked 100%, that now you're God. No one's going to get there. No one's going to get that, are they? And you even hear how he says, look, it's time for a revolution, not evolution. And this is a concept, and I am an expert at this, because at Penn State, when I did my grad school, we talked about this, and I've referenced this many times because it was very fascinating. And the idea is that the human species will evolve and keep sort of going towards perfection. But at a certain point, something different happens. You're not just adding a new functionality. You've now created something that makes a fundamental shift so that the human, the Homo sapiens sapiens, are no longer that. It's now something else, which we call the transhuman. Right? The transhuman agenda. So meanwhile, we see Lucy. She's awake now, but guess what the camera shows us? It shows us the all-seeing eye opening. She is now woke. She is now woken. And long story short, she escapes. Don't ask her. She escapes from the BTS army. She gets to the hospital so she can get this bag of dope removed from her, right? And she starts feeling these superpowers. Remember, she was on the ceiling and stuff. She starts feeling these superpowers, and she's like, something's going on. This CPH4 drug got into my bloodstream, and I don't know, I'm a superhuman now, I guess. And she calls her mom. And she's kind of she's in the hospital. She's kind of flexing, right? She's kind of showing off her superpowers, making the surgeon remove the bag of dope. And she calls her mom, and she tells mom how she's feeling. And she reveals it. Yes, I think my brain has been unlocked through the drugs. Take a listen.
Hello?
Mom?
Hey, Lucy. Baby, it's great to hear from you. But what time is it over there?
I don't know. It's night.
Hold on a sec. Let me get rid of the other line.
I'm going to have to go inside.
I'm back. You're not partying too much, are you? You promised me you'd look after yourself.
I'm trying to, Mom. I am trying to.
Well, thanks for calling out of the blue like this. Your father's going to be sad he missed you. He isn't home from the gym yet. Usually you call us in the morning.
Mom?
Yes?
I feel everything.
What do you mean, sweetie?
Space. Air. The vibrations. The people. I can feel the gravity. I can feel the rotation of the earth. The heat leaving my body. The blood in my veins. I can feel my brain. The deepest parts of my memory.
Sweetie, we have a bad connection. I can't hear you so well. What did you say about memory?
The pain in my mouth. When I had braces, I can remember the feeling of your hand on my forehead when I ran a fever. I remember stroking the cat. It was so soft.
The cat? What cat, honey?
Siamese with blue eyes and a broken tail.
Sweetie, you can't possibly remember that. You were barely a year old.
I remember the taste of your milk in my mouth. The room. The liquid.
Sweetie, what are you talking about?
I just want to tell you that I love you, Mom and Dad.
Sweetie.
And I want to thank you for the 1,000 kisses that I can still feel on my face. I love you, Mom.
I love you too, sweetie. More than anything in the world.
So, Lucy, she's describing these superpowers, what they call the CDs in the old world, right? With the when you get into Helena Blavatsky and her ideas of the Tibetan monks and the ascended masters. And they talked about how these people could harness. If you read autobiography of a yogi from the Yogananda guy, he talks about how he could levitate and go through walls and all this crazy stuff once his mind achieved this certain level of whatever. Well, she's like, I got that too. And now she's becoming one with the universe. She senses all of the natural laws that God used to create the world and humanity. And now she's going to play the role of the Sophia, goddess of wisdom. She will unlock the mysteries and storm the gates of heaven. And sadly, at the same time, she also realizes the essence of who she was, who she identified with, is now leaving. And that train is leaving the station and it's never coming back. So she cried. She's on the phone with her mom. She's crying about this. She's mourning the loss of this. But at the same time, she's like, eh, but I'm going to be God. So that's kind of cool too. And the doctor, he actually knows this drug is the CPH4. And he says, look, a mother creates this drug. It's an atomic bomb inside the womb and allows the baby to evolve. So she gets out of the hospital. She got mucho guns. She's strapped. And she's looking for revenge. She's trying to catch this BTS army, trying to catch some bodies. And the body count climbs. Very violent. And she gets to the hotel where the BTS gang is holed up. And she starts shooting folks up. And at a certain point, they show how her brain is progressing throughout the movie. And she hits 28% cerebral function. And she reveals that, because she gets on the phone with Morgan Freeman. All right, sorry. I'm sure if you haven't seen the movie, you're like, bro, you're all over the place. Well, it kind of jumps around, okay? Well, she calls Morgan Freeman. And she's like, look, I got to talk to you because you're an expert on brains. And I got to tell you, I've unlocked. I'm at 20% cerebral function. And I'm going to tell you what it feels like. It doesn't feel like I'm a human anymore. I don't feel the emotions anymore, which is the metaverse fantasy. They think that to have human emotions is to suffer. And there's one thing I learned from many, many years of therapy. That's not the case. The fact that you feel sad, the fact that you feel depressed, the fact that you beat yourself up, you don't think you're good enough, you don't think you look good enough. That's what it is to be human. On some level, you got to embrace this and stop rejecting it. You embrace it and move on. You know what I'm saying? But that's not what the nerds think. The nerds think, no. Let's engineer that. We'll make you an avatar and you can look as society tells you you should look. You live in the matrix with us now. We'll make the rules. It's going to be like Twitter. We'll kick off the bullies. You give us this Instagram fake Coachella version of yourself and it'll be perfect. It's just like the plot from Surrogates, the Bruce Willis film. I always talk about it. I should do a film analysis on that. It's another old one that showed us what it was really going to happen. And listen to Morgan Freeman. He talks about how the point of life is to pass on the knowledge. Because what she's doing is she's trading her humanity and what it is to be a human and have a soul for the knowledge, for the gnosis. All right, take a listen.
I don't feel pain, fear, desire. It's like all things that make us human are fading away. It's like the less human I feel, all this knowledge about everything, quantum physics, applied mathematics, the infinite capacity of a cell's nucleus, they're all exploding inside my brain, all this knowledge. I don't know what to do with it.
If you're asking me what to do, you know, if you think about the very nature of life, I mean, from the very beginning, the development of the first cell divided into two cells. This whole purpose of life has been to pass on what was learned. There is no higher purpose. So if you're asking me what to do with all this knowledge you're accumulating, I say, pass it on. Just like any simple cell going through time.
Time. Yes, of course. I'll be at your door in 12 hours.
So Morgan Freeman's like, look, that's the whole point. You have to pass this knowledge on. This is the secret society talking. This is the mystery Babylon, all right? Passing on the occult secrets. It's the highest purpose of all things. You got to get into the esoteric inner circle, the inner sanctum, to get the true secrets, which turns out to be worshiping Lucifer. But we're not ready for that yet. Let's keep it moving. Lucy, she gives the drop on the drug mules. They got the CPH dope that the feds are now interested in. So she's like, she's snitching. She's snitching. She says, hey, I need you to, hey, cops, I know where these drug mules are. I need you to get those drugs, and I'll be back because I need those drugs for something. And, you know, the cops are stupid. They just do what they're told. And they collect the samples for her. And she's herself trying to evade authorities because she is on camera killing folks everywhere, right? So she goes to the airport. She's got a wig on. She gets on a flight. Turns out that Morgan Freeman was right, though. He says, look, if this environment isn't in balance, then things are about to go down. And with all of this weird dope running through her system, her body starts to disintegrate. She goes in the bathroom and the attendants are freaking out like, yo, what's going on? Because she's yelling and screaming and carrying on. And you see her body dissolve. And then the next thing you know, she wakes up in the airport, like infirmary. With no wig. But she somehow evolved. And this part was very confusing to me. I don't know. They don't explain what happened there. They don't explain how she remanifested in this hospital. But they do show her waking up, and her eyes have the lizard reptilian eyeballs. Yes, she's now a shapeshifter, apparently. But she's up to 50%. 50%. That's a high number, right? And the BTS gang, they're still after her because they know she's collecting all the dope bags. So the police, they meet up with her at the airport here. And she quickly shows them who's boss. She shows off her Neo-like capabilities. And then she's like, look, I'm trying to catch up with Morgan Freeman and these nerds. And she does so. And when she gets there, she starts revealing the mysteries of nature. Take a listen.
Lynn?
Lucy.
Oh, sir, sir. Hey, you. You're in Paris?
Yes, I am.
Good, good, excellent. So, look, I am no longer at the hotel now. I've come to the university where I've taken the liberty of calling together a few of my colleagues to discuss your case. Top men's in their field and very trustworthy.
I trust you.
Oh, thank you. So, do you think you can meet us here at the university? I'm very pleased to meet you.
Likewise.
Captain Del Rio.
How do you do? Let me introduce you to my colleagues. This is Professor Cantier, neurosurgeon. Professor
I know who everyone is.
Of course. Gentlemen, this is Lucy, the first woman to... as I mentioned earlier, Miss Lucy has, for reasons that remain a mystery to me, unlocked certain portions of her brain that offer access to previously unexplored cerebral zones. She has abilities.
Can you give us an example?
Your daughter, Gabrielle, age 6, died in a car accident. It was a blue car, leather seats, plastic bird hanging from the rearview mirror.
병원에서 애들 5명 잃었습니다. 죄송합니다.
애들 몇 명 남았어?
여기 있는 애들 25명 내려왔습니다. 형님, 근데 그 집 가는 년 장난이 아닙니다. 꼭 귀신 같습니다.
나도 알고 있다. 그녀는 직접 내가 죽인다.
There are men coming here. Can you secure the room? I need to stay focused.
Sure.
How did you manage to access all this information?
Electrical impulses. Every cell knows and talks to every other cell. They exchange 1,000 bits of information between them per second. Cells group together, forming a giant web of communication, which in turn forms matter. Cells get together, take on one form, deform, reform. Makes no difference, it's all the same. Humans consider themselves unique, so they've rooted their whole theory of existence on their uniqueness. One is their unit of measure, but it's not. All social systems we put into place are a mere sketch. 1 + 1 = 2, that's all we've learned. But 1 + 1 has never equaled 2. There are, in fact, no numbers and no letters. We've codified our existence to bring it down to human size, to make it comprehensible. We've created a scale so that we can forget its unfathomable scale.
But if humans are not the unit of measure, and the world isn't governed by mathematical laws, what governs all that?
Film a car speeding down a road. Speed up the image infinitely, and the car disappears. So what proof do we have of its existence? Time gives legitimacy to its existence. Time is the only true unit of measure. It gives proof to the existence of matter. Without time, we don't exist.
Time is unity.
Now, what are these mysteries she reveals? You got to kind of read between the lines, as we do. She talks about how we created this scale, which is a law of correspondence idea, as above, so below. She's talking about quantum physics ideas. She's talking about time is unity, and without time, we don't exist. But this is all hermetic wisdom. This references us to Saturn when we start talking about time and the constraints and the measurements. We're going to come back to this. But essentially, it's an idea that falls out of Western esotericism. The idea that comes from Plato, the Platonic Academy, and his ideas of the Great Chain. That's what he called it, the Great Chain. Man being stuck in between the state of spirit and matter, yet able to access both. And from this drops out ideas of Kabbalism and figuring out a way to re-spiritualize matter to get back to godlike status. The divine, they call it, that's like God, right? They call it the divine, extends his power to the lower realms of earth, Malkuth in the Kabbalah. And these magicians think they can use this secret wisdom to achieve the powers to ascend and reach back up to Kether, to heaven, where the God lives, where the divine is. So they can touch finger to finger, just like Michelangelo's painting of the creation of Adam shows us, right? Now, Morgan Freeman, he's not too hip on this. He's like, look, mankind is not ready for this knowledge. You know what it's going to bring? It's going to bring chaos. But you know, they love the chaos, the order out of chaos. But he's espousing the academic stance about humanity. Just like Isaac Newton said, he talked about how, look, this isn't meant for mouth breathers. This is meant for the elites, these secret doctrines. Take a listen to what he says. Pay attention. He talks about how it's going to bring too much chaos.
But all of this knowledge, Lucy, I'm not even sure that mankind is ready for it. We're so driven by power and profit. Given man's nature, it might bring us only instability and chaos.
Ignorance brings chaos, not knowledge. I'll build a computer and download all my knowledge in it. I'll find a way for you to have access to it.
Yeah. I just hope we will be worthy of your sacrifice.
So Lucy, she takes more dope. Her cerebral functions go up to 70%. Things are getting weird. She turns into this being of light. This light unlocks from her body. This is symbolic of the light of Lucifer, by the way. Also seen in Annihilation, in the lighthouse. Yes. But yeah, Lucy's got all the hidden knowledge. The drugs are making her brain unlock more and more potential. And Morgan Freeman and the nerds, they're just kind of watching it like, what is happening? And she just shoots light out of her whole head, right? And then something else happens. She starts transforming. The black goo starts running through her veins. And she starts turning into the black goo, which ties us into other films like Under the Skin, with the ideas of alchemy there. But the black goo, it absorbs all the computers. And Morgan Freeman's like, oh, she's looking for energy and matter. She's connecting all the computers. She reaches 80%. Now she's creating a white void, a matrix. And we find out that she's building a biocomputer from this black goo. Now, meanwhile, the BTS army, they finally caught up. And they're mad. And they fire a big rocket into the white void, into this room. But she's at 90% now, so watch out. She somehow transports, and she's in front of the Eiffel Tower, which is very curious, right? Because the guy who built it, Gustave Eiffel, was in fact a Freemason, who also helped build the Statue of Liberty, which is an occult symbol, with the goddess Semiramis holding the torch of illumination, represents the wisdom given to us, the flame given to us from Prometheus, who stole fire from the gods to help mankind, which is a Luciferian concept. And the Eiffel Tower was also the tallest structure on Earth for a long time. It was kind of like our Tower of Babel for a period, built by the Freemasons. So Lucy, she's like black gooed up, but she's transporting all over the world. She's moving through space and time, and they show her in New York City. A really cool sequence. Worth the price of admission, if you ask me. So good job, everyone over there. But it shows it going like to Times Square in the 80s, and then back to oldie times, and then back to Native Americans, and then back to dinosaurs, which are fake, and then back to apes. Back to the beginning of the film where they showed us apes, which is very 2001 A Space Odyssey, Stanley Kubrick's masterpiece. And then we get it. We get the massive moment. This is, to me, the point of the whole movie, right here at the end. Lucy reaches out a finger to the ape, the unsuspecting ape, and the ape reaches back and touches the finger. They make contact. And this triggers a massive impact, and Lucy, her consciousness fires off into the cosmos. You see the cosmos change. You see massive eclipses and the Big Bang and like crazy stuff happening. She's at 99%. But meanwhile, back in the little Morgan Freeman nerd room, so her consciousness is doing this whole trip, right? But her body is still in the room. And the BTS army, they're coming in. But the black goo is consuming her whole body, right? And right when the BTS army shoots the gun to kill her, she hits 100% and she absorbs into God, or the divine, as the occultists would say, and she goes back to the source. And we see her cells fusing back together. Instead of breaking apart, they're fusing back together, as opposed to splitting. She's now merged into the unified field of consciousness. And the black goo computer that's left behind hands Morgan Freeman a USB. Because remember earlier he was like, your job is to pass on this knowledge. Now he's got it. Now the scientific academia nerds have it, right? They will now be the source of all wisdom. And then the cop is in there and he's like, hey, where'd she go? But remember, she's the master of all technology. And he flips his phone open and has got a text message that says, I am everywhere. Which is another big topic here we're going to get into. And the final words of the whole film is Lucy saying, life was given to us a billion years ago. Now you know what to do with it. We've been initiated into the occult. Yes. Is she talking to Morgan Freeman? Is she talking to us? Who's she talking to? The Illuminati? But the point is, life was given to us a billion years ago. Now you know what to do with it. It's saying your job is to not only evolve, but to create the revolution and to now spiritualize the matter and get back to God. So let's unpack all of this madness, because I watched this movie and I was nothing less than blown away. I haven't been blown away by a movie in a long time. Probably Annihilation was the last time I did that. Which, you know, shout out Jimmy Jackhammer. Told me about Annihilation. I had my doubts. I was like, I'm not watching that. But then I watched it. I said, you know, maybe I got to stop watching trailers. But and then another friend of mine told me to watch Lucy. And I was like, you know, after all these years, I know Lucy showed up on a lot of the, you know, your... I'm not going to name them, my competing occult symbolism folks. They've talked about this movie, but it just didn't hit my radar. So shout out my other friend. We've got to have a cool name for her. What's her name? We'll call her Hermione McGonagall. How's that? My friend Hermione McGonagall. Anyway, let's talk about this movie. What happens? Lucy unlocks mental powers. She connects in with the Great One, okay? With a capital O, the Great One. And this is kind of like what you see in Avatar. It's this network, this mental cosmic consciousness, all connected. And this references an occult concept called the perennial philosophy, or the Prisca Theologia, which means the ancient theology, the ancient wisdom, right? This is the early pagan religion. Now, these two things, they're the same but different, right? And I'm no expert, but this is what little bit I do know, all right? The Prisca Theologia, which I'm probably not even pronouncing correctly, this goes back to the 1500s, old-timey, right? Around the time of John Dee, and there was this guy, Marsilio Ficino, who was trying to re-establish Plato's Academy, so he ties into this Neoplatonism idea. But I think he was also John Dee's mentor. I'm reading this book on John Dee. Don't quote me. I think that's the case. Doesn't matter. Ficino, he was the influence that started this whole mystic Christian idea. And the idea that Christianity and every other Abrahamic religion, Islam, Judaism, every religion, they all derive themselves back to one ancient truth of who God is, to the Prisca Theologia, the ultimate true religion, which some people would say Zoroastrianism kind of fits into this idea. But the ancient wisdom is the real truth to these folks. And they believe in Christianity to an extent, but they think that we got the story a little bit wrong. There's this esoteric, which means inner secret doctrine. There's this esoteric version of Christianity. And they believe like stuff like they think that Moses did in fact go on Mount Sinai and talk to God. But instead of coming back with the Ten Commandments, he was also given this secret tradition called Kabbalah. Like he gave him the secret little wisdom and was like, look, not all them folks out there deserve to hear this, but I'm going to tell you a little secret. And it played into this idea that, and these are massive rabbit hole side tangents, all right? We're not going to go into them. It ties into this idea that the Jews will someday convert to Christianity, and in doing so, that will open up the apocalypse and the big reveal, which that's what the apocalypse means, the reveal, the revelation, the end times. And this is what they call the, I'm going to mispronounce this, eschatology. The eschatological fantasies will be fulfilled. The rebuilding of Solomon's temple. Anyhow, but they believe there's this one true religion and understanding of God. Now, Lucifer plays a role here. Obviously, the film is called Lucy, which ties into Lucifer. But Lucifer is opening the eyes of man, the third eye, the all-seeing eye. And who's Lucifer? Well, this is quite a topic here, so hang in there. We're going to briefly cut through this, as brief as we can. If you refer to, in fact, we just talked about Kurt Barker on the supporter feeds only when we talked about his book about cannibalism, blood drinking, and high adept Satanism. He talks about Satan and Lucifer, and he says, they're pretty much the same but different. He's like, you can pick up the phone and call, but either one of them's going to answer. If you refer to the Orthodox Study Bible, they'll tell you Lucifer is Satan, which a lot of people disagree with. And this goes back to the Garden of Eden. The serpent said he could open the eyes of Adam and Eve with his forbidden wisdom. And if you read Isaiah 14:4, this is the verse that talks about how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, who rose up in the morning. Well, in the Orthodox Study Bible, which is a collection of, you got all these councils of ancient Christians, Saint Basil and Saint Ignatius and all these folks, right? All these people way smarter on theology than me on Christianity. They came together and wrote, and their ideas are presented in this Orthodox Study Bible. So I would defer to them as experts on Christianity. All right? And in the study notes, it says directly, the king of Babylon, because that's what the book of Isaiah is talking about, says the king of Babylon is compared to Lucifer or Satan. So there you go. Lucifer is Satan. If you refer to Bill Cooper's assessment of the Mystery Babylon religion, Lucifer is the god who they were worshiping. When they talk about worshiping the sun, they're actually secretly, covertly talking about worshiping Lucifer. If you refer to Aleister Crowley's ideas, he talks about the hidden sun being Sirius, kind of like Lucifer. If you refer to the Cambridge Handbook of Western Mysticism and Esotericism, it talks about Jacob Boehme's, I'm probably mispronouncing that, he's a Christian mystic. He says that Adam, man, is God's replacement for Lucifer, who fell because he wished to be not merely an embodiment of the whole, but the whole itself. Like the fallen angel, man is a perfect microcosm of the whole. In the garden, Adam possessed the wisdom of God, knowledge of the primordial forms of all things contained within God's great mirror, Sophia. So Gnostic reference, maybe. However, Adam possessed this knowledge without consciousness. That is, he did not know that he knew it. And insofar as he remained in this state, Adam could not be an adequate image of God. The divine agent who brings an end to Adam's naivety is Lucifer in the form of the serpent. Adam and Eve then eat of the forbidden tree of knowledge of good and evil, which represents consciousness of duality or opposition. Boom. Now you talk about duality, you talk about the Freemasonic black and white checkered floor they call it the Moses pavement. You talk about the idea of the opposing principles, the divine androgyne that is the Baphomet, the male goat with the female breasts, a symbol for the Church of Satan. But look, my take on all this, I read all this nonsense, right? My take on Lucifer. Lucifer is the ultimate god for the Illuminati. He represents the archetypal energy of what they want, to overthrow the heavens and take over for God. The illuminated ones obviously would worship the illuminated fallen angel, the light bearer. He is the Prometheus. He gives man the torch of knowledge, the keys of wisdom to free them from the enslavement of this Gnostic mini-god that they call the Demiurge. Lucifer is the guide. He's the guiding force. He's kind of like the hermit of the tarot card, lighting the path. He's the old man of the mountain that the assassins used to talk about. So there you go. Lucifer. Of course, this is all representing the same thing. Through science, man can now become God. And she, as Morgan Freeman instructs her, passes on the knowledge. She passes on the knowledge. That's the key to life. This is the Gnosis. This is the secret oral tradition of Kabbalah. It's all these things. They're relaying the secret occult doctrine. She just understands it all and provides it. And apropos for her to be a female, as the Sophia goddess of wisdom in Gnostic doctrine. She's like the serpent. She is the Lucifer, hence the name Lucy. The Minerva. And you see it throughout the film. She's constantly being shown, proving that she knows all. She's constantly telling people what they're thinking, what they're feeling. She goes inside their mind and extrapolates the data she needs. And this is kind of like the Eiffel Tower and the Statue of Liberty. We talked about that. This is something the Freemasons would encode architecture with sacred geometry and hidden symbols to relay these concepts to those who know, those deemed worthy to understand the secrets. Now, the black goo, we always see the black goo. And ironically, this is relevant to the film Under the Skin that she was also in. I'm not going to spoil that plot in case you haven't seen it yet, because it's a great film. I don't want to ruin it. But if you read my second Alien book, Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult, Use Your Illusion 2, then you know the whole deal, because I went through all these films, one of them being Under the Skin. It is all about the transhuman creation of new life. At the end of the film, I'm going to read it again and again. The final words of the film is Lucy saying, "Life was given to us a billion years ago. Now you know what to do with it." Well, she knows what to do with it too. Create the new life. And in Under the Skin, the artificial intelligence aliens, they create the new life. And, you know, in both films, you see the all-seeing eye. In both films, you see the black goo, which is alchemical negredo. This is the first stage of alchemy on the way to the great work of refining man's soul to re-spiritualize the matter. The alchemical process starts out with the blackening. And that's what this is. And what's crazy is she even says it in the film. She talks about how she could feel this. She could sense everything because now she has these superhuman powers. And she's like, "Hey, I can hear the sounds of the bones grinding under the skin." The exact phrase from the same movie that was released at the same time, starring the same people. It's pretty crazy.
Learning's always a painful process. Like when you're little and your bones are growing and you ache all over. Can you believe I can remember the sound of my own bones growing? Like this grinding under the skin? Everything's different now. Like sounds are music that I can understand, like fluids.
And Under the Skin, it shows us the advanced aliens. But which if you saw the film, it was Scarlett Johansson and the motorcycle man, both of which have no names in the film. They communicate telepathically, not one word spoken between them, just like you see in Lucy. She has this ability. She uses her ESP, her telekinesis. The CDs are fully unlocked. And in Under the Skin, it shows that she knows the human nature and the human drives. Remember how she uses sex to her advantage? Well, she kind of does it in Lucy. She kisses the cop because she's doing all this stuff, and she tells the cop, okay, come with me. And he's like, what do you need me for? You're putting making people levitate and all kinds of crazy stuff. And she kisses him. And she keeps him around to remind herself of what it is to be human, because she knows that human nature includes lust. Under the Skin also played heavily on this law of correspondence, this as above, so below. And it also showed us Michelangelo's creation of Adam sequence with the fingers touching. Yes. If you recall, when the men are in the abyss, I'm not going to spoil any plot saying that, you get the finger touch. And if you read the book for Under the Skin, you find out that what these aliens want is they want to eat us. Yes, cannibalism tied in there again. Now, Saturn plays a role in this film too, right? We have the black goo, which some people refer to as Saturn because of the black sun, the black color of the first stage of alchemy. But she talks a lot about controlling time, which is a very Saturnian idea. And you have to go back to this idea. The occultists believe we had a golden age a long time ago. And the light of Saturn, which was like a purple sheath, the purple haze Jimi Hendrix is singing about. Maybe. I don't know. I throw that in there. It could be, though. I don't know. The light of Saturn gave us the golden age. And at the same time, the planet Saturn ushered in the end when it brought about day and night. And this idea of time and measurements and the quantization of data, which is why Saturn is called Father Time. Saturn brought with it the idea of time. And it's just this whole idea of quantifying data, of observing that a day is, you know, 24 hours or whatever. And with it brought this idea of scarcity. And if you read Yuval Harari's book on Homo sapiens, he talks about how the agricultural age brought with it scarcity, greed, control over land, separateness, capitalism, all these things. And the idea of weights and measures needed to be reinforced. Everyone needed to agree on these different quantifiable bits of data. And the first laws were created, and you had to create a law enforcement. You had the priesthood. This is the early technocracy. Trust the science. That's what they said to them back then, too. Trust the science. This is the early technocracy. Scientist, humanist, whatever you want to call them. And supposedly all this stuff came from Atlantis. But, you know, it was the Masonic and alchemical hermetic folks running it. But anyways, the time of concept, or the Saturn brought with it the concept of time and measurements, which gave us money and you punch in your dumb time card at work, whatever. That's the idea. And she talks about time being this big factor in everything. And with time gave us the second law of thermodynamics, entropy. Like everything is, cells are programmed to die. How do you overcome all that? Well, through immortality and becoming God. And this finger touch shows all this. This is depicted in the film. It's depicted in this is telling us the same concept of the Prisca Theologia or the perennial philosophy again. And the painting, Michelangelo did the painting of God touching Adam and giving life to man. So what we're watching when we see Lucy do it to the ape is giving birth to a new species of transhuman. She is now God. Man has become God through science. And if you watch the film, they actually flash it during the Creation of Adam painting during Morgan Freeman's first lecture. And we already talked about the finger-to-finger thing with God and the divine. He's extending his power, man reaching back. And we see this in the film. She's extending the evolutionary finger to the early apes, which is what happens in 2001 A Space Odyssey as well. Remember when David Bowman reaches out to the black monolith? He's reaching out to touch fingers, which was about the advanced alien intelligence revealing itself to early man. Stanley Kubrick showed us the monolith enhancing the early apes and evolving the early apes. And she even tells the cop, "I am everywhere," at the end of the film. This is the theosophical fantasy of Helena Blavatsky, talking about the integrated ascended masters, these beings of light, these entities. And if you read, there's four books in the 2001 A Space Odyssey. There's 2001, 2010, 2051, and 3001, I think. If you read those as I did, David Bowman eventually becomes like the aliens. He becomes a being of light, the digital consciousness in the cosmos. And just like the monolith, it can kickstart evolution of life forms in the universe. And in fact, just like in the film Lucy, David Bowman can insert himself into any piece of technology and reveal himself to whoever he wants. Last thing, well, almost the last thing. We're going to read from Western Esotericism, A Guide for the Perplexed by Han Graf. It says this: metaphysical radicals apart, the predominance of panentheist tendencies in Western Esotericism. These are like million-dollar words, all right? If you're getting lost, hang in there. I'm getting lost, too. I put this together. All right. All those things I just said, blah, 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 means that God tends to be seen as invisibly present throughout the physical cosmos, and therefore the overcoming of separation means a sense of unity with the cosmos rather than an acosmic unity with the One. This implies not the annihilation of individuality, but an awareness of one's inseparable connectedness to the whole of reality. What are they saying? They're saying what the film is showing us. And if you read Stephen Flower's book on Lords of the Left-Hand Path, he talks about the difference between the left-hand path and the right-hand path. Right-hand path is your Abrahamic religions and the idea of, you know, going to heaven, whatever. But the left-hand pathers, they want to seek separation from the stream of consciousness that is God. They want to become God, which is essentially what that's saying. And in the book, later in the book, it says this: experience is very similar to the resulting unity with all that is, may be found scattered throughout the corpus of Western esotericism from antiquity to the present. For example, in 1982, the transpersonal psychologist Gene Houston published a course book of practical exercises for enhancing one's physical, mental, and creative abilities, and sketched her own youthful experience of cosmic unity to give an impression of the kind of consciousness that might ultimately be attained. All right? I don't know if you're picking up what I'm putting down. That's basically what Lucy does. She enhances all her abilities. And then it reads into it from the Gene Houston book. Suddenly the key turned and the door to the universe opened. I didn't see or hear anything unusual. There were no visions, no burst of light. The world remained the same. And yet everything around me, including myself, moved into meaning. Everything became part of a single unity, a glorious symphonic resonance in which every part of the universe was a part of and illuminated every other part. Everything mattered. Nothing was alien or irrelevant or distant. The furthest star was right next door, and the deepest mystery was clearly seen. It seemed to me as if I knew everything. It seemed to me as if I was everything. It's just like this film is showing us. Now, as you could imagine, why would they do this? I just read you two paragraphs from this stuffy-ass book. It's very confusing. it makes way more sense to just watch Scarlett Johansson do it, and looks good doing it, by the way. So that's the power of entertainment. People want to pretend that there's no influence on us or there's no agenda behind the entertainment. No way. The power there of this film to convey these very complicated subjects is amazing. One more. I'm going to read one more passage, and I'm getting a headache, so we got to go. I'm just kidding. This is very wordy, I realize it, these references, but reading from that same Western esotericism book, it says, the dominant model of the Prisca Theologia implied a process of degeneration from an original state of perfect truth and wisdom, whereas the conception of Philosophia Perennius emphasized that nothing new was to be expected because the truth had always been available and always would be. In Chapter 4, it has been suggested that the emergence of evolution as a spiritual process that takes place in and through history may have been indebted to the alchemical paradigm. So there you go, bringing it back to the first stage of alchemy and the negredo, the blackening, the black goo. It's the alchemical paradigm. And look, to zoom it all the way out, the overall message here is this is the Luciferian technocracy. This film is almost no different from 2001 A Space Odyssey. It's an initiatory experience, a film meant to plant a seed of consciousness in your mind. Maybe they, you know, reap the rewards now, maybe 5 years from now, maybe 10 years from now, but these concepts have been around a very long time and they're very confusing. And they want to simplify it. And they want to plant that into your mind. Now, what do we do about it? I don't know. It's up to you. Do you care? Do you agree with it? I know a lot of people agree with this stuff. They're like, yeah, this is the truth. Religion is a control system. Some people don't. Some people say, no, this is the same spiritual battle. The wisdom of the Bible and Christ and his disciples, they knew this was going to be happening 2,000 years later. You know, pick your path. My whole thing is I just want to help you understand what's going on, trying to make sense and decode this entertainment so that we know what's happening. Don't just become a bystander passively being led down the path. So there you go. Hope you enjoyed that. I really did. I enjoyed that show. So thank you for listening. If you want to support the show, I always talk about it. You know how to do it. You know where it's at. Till next time, my friend. You know what to do. Stay woke.